Blog Talk Radio.
So scared of getting older, I'm only good at being young. So I play the numbers game to find a way to say that life has just begun.
Good morning and welcome to Who Are You Calling Old? This is Shemaine Canton, and I'm here every Monday, as we are, to talk about issues of aging and finding different wonderful guests to talk to. And today we have another special guest, and I can't wait to get to her because she's got an extremely wonderful platform that I believe is something that is cross-generational, really defies the ages. And her name is Janice Flagg, or Flagg. She's going to pronounce it for me. I'm really funny about the name stuff. But she's somebody who's here to inspire and uplift us with a fun, upbeat, humor-filled, and encouraging talk about ways to knock out fear. Now, she talks about fear as something that discourages us. And it robs us of joy, it robs us of hope, and it keeps us from taking the next step. Fear is truly a dream killer, and she's correct. Now, she's an author, a speaker, an inspirational humorist, a Christian comedian, and an ovarian cancer survivor who shares her story of challenging her battle with fear by using humor, positive attitude, and faith to inspire others to never give up. Fight fear. Cancer was her challenge, but others fight fear that come with divorce, job loss, emptiness, foreclosure. There's just a litany of things. But the idea, what she says, that I believe is very true, is that the focus is not on the hardship, but rather the focus should be on learning practical tips to knock out the fear that comes with any life challenge. And all of us have to learn how to do that. So I'm going to stop talking, and because I've had 3 minutes to do it. I want to get to Jana and welcome her to us this morning. Good morning, Jana. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. I really am. I was anxious to have you on because I could really kind of connect on you with a couple of different things. I know what you're talking about when you're talking about fear, and on a personal level. And then you reminded me of FDR when he said we had nothing to fear but fear itself.
Right.
Yeah, so I really wanted, I said, now, let's bring that into the 21st century. This is cool. I like this. So I want to talk to you more about your life and just how you got where you are right now. How were you able to do that? Because I would love to, I wish people could flip on a dime like that and just say, oh, I'm just going to fight that fear and I'm just going to just switch it around. It sometimes takes a little while because fear does, box you in, and it takes a little way of maneuvering. I'm not going to say struggle your way out of it because, it's kind of like quicksand. The more you struggle, the further down you go. You got to figure out a way to finesse yourself out.
That's true, it's not something that you just say, oh, I'm going through something terribly frightening, but, oh, well, I'll smile and I'm not afraid. The fight is a strategy and being persistent. And so many types of fear, you had asked how I got to where I am. My whole life I've been afraid of things, and I don't mean phobias. I don't mean, big fears. But fear of rejection, fear of the unknown, fear of criticism, fear of failure. Fear of moving forward and taking the next step. All of these fears, big and small, keep us frozen and keep us from being the best we can be and going for our dream. I think the sad thing would be if someone spent their whole life and said, oh, I could have, or I would have, or I should have, or I don't know what would have happened if I'd have ever tried. You know, I didn't try. You know, so, you know, with me, what finally did it was going through a surprise cancer fight. Like a lot of women, I was misdiagnosed for over a year. And when I went in for a hysterectomy, which is what the doctors thought I needed, they found stage 3C ovarian cancer, which had spread, and they gave me 2 years to live. And that was about 25, 30 years too soon. And, you know, my boy needed me, and my husband's one of those guys that can't even put the lid back on the peanut butter jar, you know. So, you know, they all needed me, and I needed to be here. But I learned really, really early on that the greatest battle wasn't against the disease, but it was against the fear that would finally defeat me if I let it. So bottom line is, you know, we can't always control what happens to us in life. And you mentioned some of the, you know, challenges that we can go through in life. But we can choose, okay, am I going to walk in fear and let it crush me, or am I going to step out in faith that I can succeed? And so that's the area where we have a choice.
That's true. That's very, very true. It's just that we do have that choice. I know that my father, you know, my father's picked up quite a lot of knowledge over the years, and his grandmother, my great grandmother, used to say lots of wonderful, full things that he learned, and I was fortunate enough to have her. She died at 106, so I actually had her for
Whoa.
A long time.
Wow.
So. So I was able to pick up little things. But the one thing she said was, we would talk about people wanting to do certain things. And she says, the only thing worse than, you know, she says, so there's only one thing worse than failure, and that's not trying at all.
Yes.
And
yes.
that fear of you not even wanting to go, you know, step your foot out to even try is
right.
actually worse off than failing, because if you fail at something, at least you can say, I went out there and I did it. I faced the fear of failure. I did fail, and guess what happened? I didn't die from it.
yeah.
I didn't explode on the spot, you know, I didn't just, like, combust spontaneously.
Right. Yeah, and I used to,
you know, you just go forward.
You do. And I used to tell my college students that you know, to go for their dream, you know, if somebody wants to be a rock star, I said, well, you know what? You ain't no rock star now, honey, so go for it. You've got nothing to lose. You know, take
exactly.
music classes and train and practice and, you know, go for it so that you're not, you know, later at midlife stuck in a job you hate and thinking, oh, you know, but my real love was music or was something else. So I agree totally with your grandma that, you know, the worst thing is not trying at all. So, you know, there are all kinds of fear that just, you know, holds us back, and that's really sad. And the other thing is, fear doesn't feel good. It feels lousy to be afraid.
Oh, God, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It really does, because it's, you know, the thing is that I've seen people with, I've seen people with the phobias, and, you know, and those are just, you know, those are fears of particular things. But when they have the phobias in a really bad way, and they're presented with the situation that where they have to face that phobia, it can be, it's almost macabre. You've got to turn your head. You can't look at it, because it's to see this person shake and or some cry, some faint, some go through all kinds of things. And fear manifests in so many ways. And the thing is, as you're watching it and you're saying to yourself, to let fear get to you to that point where you just kind of run right off the rails. And
right.
those are for, you know, those kinds of phobia things. But when we're talking about making a change or having to face, you know, facing a diagnosis, having to go to a doctor and having to deal with things and what have you, you know, it's, you know, we can't take the free monkey approach. We got to be able to face it.
That's right. And you're talking, when we mentioned a moment ago about phobias, you know, that's not my area. That's a psychiatrist, psychologist area.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just talking
yeah.
about, you know, fears that keep us from moving forward. For example, you know, my prayer for me this year was that God would open up new doors and give me the courage to walk through them and stretch me. And one thing I thought that my wall calendar would be filled with speaking engagements, maybe jury duty, but I never saw a role in a movie coming down to my future.
Yes.
And that's what happened was I was invited to take a part in a movie this winter. And at first, you know, inside I'm thinking, wait a minute, I'm not an actor. I've had no lessons, no schooling in that area. You know, I can't do this. And I almost told the producer that. But then I remembered my prayer that I wanted God to open doors and I would walk through it. And so I heard myself say yes. And then I did it. And I had no idea what it meant to prepare for the role. But I Googled how to behave on a film set and, you know, what to say and what not to say to the director.
Great.
You know, and so, you know, I did that, and that, you know, opens other doors. But that's just an example of, you know, instead of that little thought came in my head, you can't do this. You've never done that. How are you going to pull that off? You know, they're going to see that you're not qualified. And instead, I just said, I'm not going to be afraid. You know, I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to say, yeah, I'll do it. And then, you know, worry about getting my homework done later. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's more about not letting fear, you know, hold you back, because each door that opens is another step taking you down, you know, a particular path in your life.
Exactly. And the thing is that, you know, it's something that you got to do. And what the hardest thing for most people to understand is it's the hardest part of the whole thing is that first step. Once you get that first step going and then the second step comes, guess what starts to happen? It's just like walking. It becomes
yes.
that movement. You just start going. But all it takes is to get your foot down, you know, get one foot down on the ground and front down, press down, move forward, and then the other foot's behind, and then you start moving. That's when
right.
That's when you can start making progress.
Yeah, and I love the name of your show. Who's calling you old? Who's calling me old? You know, I have friends that, you know, they're miserable. They're, you know, they're 60 years old. They're miserable because they've never taken a chance in following their passion and their purpose. And I sat with a dear friend the other day, and she's so unhappy. And I said, you've never really found your passion. What is it you really want to do? You know, she hates all the little jobs that she gets and all sort of thing. And she said, well, I like to paint. And I'd love to, you know, do this or do that. And I said, well, go for it. You know, put together a little description or resume and knock on doors. You've got nothing to lose. And, you know, and then you won't be so unhappy that, you know, gee, you don't have a chance to do what you want to do. So, you know, so that was an example of, you know, she's been very unhappy for years and probably didn't realize till we had that conversation, that epiphany, that she's never really gone for what she really loves to do. And so, you
right.
know, fear can hold us back and make us miserable.
Oh, absolutely. It really can. And, you know, I kind of liken it to being an albatross around your neck.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
It's just you're sitting there and what have you. People ask, you know, I said, well, Google albatross, and you'll see it's this super huge bird.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I said, if that thing's wrapped around
you
your
don't
neck,
want that.
You know.
Yeah,
like,
you don't want that around your head, right. Well, and like
yeah,
you said,
you
know, I mentioned, you know, the name your show, I love that, you know, who's calling me old. You know, you're never too old. You're never too old to do
absolutely.
It. I remember seeing a gal years ago on Oprah, and she was a 79-year-old woman who was in bodybuilding competition, and what impressed me was she never did a bit of exercise till she was 72. And so at the time, I was, you know, 47, and I thought, man, if she can do it, you know, what's holding me back? I got to start exercising. You know, so we're never too old. We are never too old to, you know, to go for our passion. And, you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. We do something else. Or you learn that, gee, you know, that I didn't want that after all.
Exactly. But the thing is, you won't have learned that lesson. It will always be what what you said earlier, the woulda, shoulda, coulda. It will always be that unless you knock down that fear and you try it. And I said, the worst thing that can happen is that it won't work out. But you know what the best thing is that you will have overcome a fear and have gone for it.
Right.
Period.
Right. And you know, it's so important. One of the strategies for fighting fear is that you hang out with positive people who agree with your hope. You know, they're not hope killers like the negative people that say, you know, well, you can't do that, or nobody's hiring today, or, you know, what makes you think you'll succeed? You know, they may not deliberately be trying to sabotage you, but that's the result, is that their negativity, you know, it steals your hope. I call those people hope stealers, but not to their face.
Oh, well.
But, you know, I try to avoid those people like the plague, because their negativity are like fiery darts that go in my brain and can plant seeds of fear and doubt. You know, so the tip is, don't walk away from negative people. Run.
Exactly. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me a little bit when you said that, a little bit like that. There's a commercial out right now for, I think it's some kind of granola bar, and I think it's sweet and salty. And they, as they're going through this commercial, it's like, oh, you think our names, that we put our thing in there, it's probably dead. You know, oh, isn't it a beautiful sunset? If you like sunsets.
That kind of person.
And it's like you sit back and you say to yourself, yeah, you don't want to do that. You want to. Now, I swear I can't think. Debbie Downers. Ah, that's the one.
Yeah.
We don't want
yeah.
the Debbie Downers.
Right. And if all your friends are like that, then, you know, reach out and hang out with people that are positive. You know, we tend to be drawn to people who reinforce our view. And so, you know, I wanted to survive and be hopeful and positive. You know, so I made a point of avoiding the negative people and hanging out with positive people, because hope is contagious. You know, being positive,
absolutely,
being contagious. So, you know, we're not talking about, you're going through a divorce and it's a terrible situation, and then you just smile and say, oh, everything's fine. You know, you're in a hurtful, fearful situation. But we can take steps to not wallow in that negativity. And, you know, some people just enjoy being miserable, and, you know, I can't help those people if they don't want to, you know, be more positive and not hurt. But the best we can do is maybe move them towards the middle. You know, so what people say to us is important. And then our own words are important. Because if we say, yeah, boy, I can't do that. I can't be in a movie. I'm not an actor. I've never done that. You know, I'm this, I'm that. Well, you know, I almost talked myself right out of a great opportunity and a fun, you know, a memorable experience. And who knows, you know, what door that's going to open.
Well, it would have opened if you had allowed yourself to talk yourself out of it.
Right. So our own words are really important. You know, the tongue has the power of life and death. And those who say they can rise above their circumstances and those who say they can't are both right, because words convey either fear or faith. And they, you know, they seem to produce after their own kind. So in that way, I see fear as the reverse of faith. And like you said earlier today, you know, fear is a dream killer. So our own words can, in that way, can program our heart, our spirit for victory.
It can.
You know, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I know
that's
the job market.
I'm thinking of the same thing.
Yeah.
I say that to
my
sons all the time when they were, you know, they were going back and forth.
Yes.
It's hard for me to believe a good deal of the time, but exactly a week from today is their 28th birthday. And they were actually born on a Monday as well. So this is actually 28 years. Their 28th birthday is actually on the 28th of the day. is coming, is a week from today. And so I'm sitting, and they've gone through, I've gone through the ups and downs with them, what they want to do, and this, that, and the other, and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, that's why I love your message so much, because it has absolutely no age on it. Because
right.
The two of them do the same thing. They'll go, well, I don't know if I can do that. And I stop them. I said, listen to me. Stop making yourself a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you don't think you're able to do something, guess what? You have now planted that seed, and it's not going to happen.
Right. And you're going to convince other people. You're going to convince other people. And you're going to, they'll go to a job interview and talk the people out of hiring them. You know, it's kind of like, you don't want to go out with me Saturday night, do you? You know, well, of course, after that,
she's
going to say no.
Exactly.
Now that I think about it.
Yeah, well, they'll think so. And one day I finally had to say to the two of them, we were talking about something. I have a very good friend of mine. It's been a friend of mine for, it's been so long. It's been over 30 years at this point. But I said, if you have ever noticed, he's had some health issues in the last few years, and he's got a problem with that. He quit smoking quite some time ago, but, eventually sometimes these things will come back and something will happen. And it's caused problems with his breathing. He has to take the steroids, and he has to use the inhaler. He has to carry this whole little kit everywhere he goes. And a whole bit like that. But the thing is, from the time that I met him until this very time now, he still thinks he's the greatest thing since sliced bread ever. And I said, that's why people will sit there and he can get himself through from different things. He's always looked in the mirror and seen himself at what he considered to be like his best time, which is I guess it was like his early 20s. And no matter what's happened to him weight wise and all that other kind of stuff, and a good deal of what's happening with him weight wise right now has to do with the fact that he's taking steroids. That's we all know what steroids do to you. And but the thing is, his attitude has always been like, I'm fabulous. I got the greatest thing in the world. You want to know me. You want to hang out with me. You want to go out and get a drink with me, don't you? Let's hang out and have a drink. Yeah, he's always been that kind of person. I said, now, if you push out that kind of energy and what have you with people, you will get hired and what have you. But if you play what my dad told me was a cartoon, cartoon strip when he was a kid, called Sad Sack, something like that.
Yeah.
And he said, Sad Sack was this thing. He goes, now, you can't walk around the rest of your life walking around like Sad Sack. Because when you do that, it just becomes one of those things. You're just that person, period.
Yeah, and people will believe it, and so.
Exactly.
And another important technique, too, because we've talked a lot about attitude, but some people say, I'm just so sad, I'm so fearful, my situation really stinks. Well, one of the things that they can do that's a real biggie with me is to add humor. Look for humor in the hardship. And if they don't have any humor in their life, or they don't have a natural bent towards humor, there are things steps we can take to add humor, because, when you laugh, life's medicine is laughter and humor, and laughter lifts our spirit. And when we laugh, we feel better. And guess what? When we feel better, it's easier to have hope, and it's harder to be afraid and to be frozen in fear when you're laughing and you're feeling better. So, there are steps we can take, like go hang out in a toy store where you'll find many fun, whimsical things, and kind of play with the toys a little bit. And I dare you to not, feel better for a half hour.
Absolutely right. I love what you're saying, because honestly, the wild part about it, the very weird part, is my sister and I are only 4 years. I'm 4 years older than her, so we don't have a great divide between the two of us. It's just 4 years. However, our children have a great divide. She has two sons. I have two sons. But mine happen to be twins. I did the alpha omega thing in one shot. And that was like, boom. I said, beginning, and people say, why do you say that? I said, because it's the beginning and the end of my reproductive years.
Right,
one, two.
Right.
I don't need anybody else after that. And but, yeah, that's that done. My sister wanted to have children, and, you know, both of us were married previous. She's married a second time, found the right kind of, found the right man and right temperament. My brother-in-law is just the salt of the earth. And they now have two children at this point. And they had, you know, their first child is, my oldest nephew is three. The youngest one just turned one.
Wow.
And now, and I have people who are going to be 28 next week.
Yeah, that is a big divide.
I said, well, this is the Grand Canyon now. Oh, well, you must be kidding me.
Yeah.
This is the Grand Canyon. I said, when she said, sometimes I said, oh, can't you ask God over there? I said, do you see how tired you get? You're 4 years younger than me, and you're exhausted. I said, now, I'm older than you. What makes you think I'm less exhausted? I get less exhausted.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I said, this is where being an aunt comes into play. This is a great thing, because now you can bother the 28-year-olds, because they got energy to spare.
And they can babysit.
You hang out with them. I said,
yeah.
Let them come up and do things and stuff. And they always do. Whenever she needs something to come up, they both come up, and they are just sitting there at the same time. And at the same time, I always say it's a great opportunity for them to have a good, you know, a good time and enjoy their cousins and what have you, because they're almost more like uncles than they are cousins, first cousins.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I was saying it like that. And at the same time, in my back of my mind, I'm sitting there going, well, that just puts grandmotherhood a little further off for me. Because, of course, they work with these, they're more with kids. They realize,
right.
Ooh, you really got to be ready for this.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and a lot of fear comes into play in parenthood.
Exactly. And all of us are scared because everybody says the same thing. It's like, oh, my God, what am I going to do? I said, you know what? There's a lot of stuff. When you're a mom and you're giving birth and what have you, there's a lot of things that come out, okay, none of which we want to discuss if we've been
there.
Yeah,
right. And we don't want to pass it on to our kids.
One of the things that they never managed to didn't tell me that, is that, but there's no manual. There's no manual that pops out with the baby for, you know, with what to do with this particular child for the rest of their life.
Nope.
There's no manual. You got to figure it out.
No, and if we're fearful, they can pick up on that, and they can copy those traits and talk negatively.
Exactly. And we have to set the right examples there. I mean, and being a parent is a very, very, it's a rewarding job. It's nothing is better in the world to you. I mean, I know I feel like that about my sons and what have you. It was a tougher thing to do, but I got through it and not that I'm not going to say I got through it, because I'm still doing it. Even it just changes as they get older. That's all. You're still mom. It just changes.
Well, and we go through
how
the same lessons. You know, we go through the same lessons, too. And it might be different fears, but, you know, my hope in meeting with women and, you know, speaking at women's retreats and hopefully inspiring women and encouraging them that, you know, just because, you know, your folks were negative or your mom was negative and that's the way you learned to respond to challenges in life, you don't have to keep going on with that. You could be 60 or 70 or whatever age, and, you know, and you don't have to keep going like that. You can, you know, step on fear and defeat fear and walk through those doors and have new opportunities at any age.
Well, I think that's a wonderful thing. And, I always say on every show, I said, when we have our guests always fly through everything. So, but I want everybody to get an opportunity. If you would give them your website and how, you know, and the different, maybe some books that you've done or how they can find out more about you or be in contact with you, that would be terrific.
Well, the best contact is my website, janaflagg.com, JANAFLAIG, JanaFlagg.com, where they'll find, media list and movie list and contact to get in touch with me. And, And I'd say, you know, be in touch and let's work together to inspire and uplift every, you know, other women, and have a great time and a lot of laughs at a women's conference or special event or women's retreat. My book you mentioned, Fight Fear and Foster Faith, is available at Amazon.com. But the website I think is the best way to be in touch, and there's a lot of fun information there and video clips as well.
Oh, I certainly hope our listeners this morning have written that down, and if they haven't, it's a part of our listing. Not to mention that they can download your interview for free on iTunes. Just go to Who You Calling Old, and they can download your interview for free and listen to it again. And this way they can go back and say, oh, okay, she said that and this and that. Maybe there was a question they had in their mind, and then they can contact you through your website and and see what they can possibly do. And to,
great.
They can be in touch with you and find out what's what, how they can fight fear and do so with the grace and the wonderful humor that you have done so. And I'm so happy to have had you today, Johnny. You really have been quite wonderful, and I thank you so much for your time, seriously.
Well, and thank you. It's been fun talking with you.
Oh, it's been fun talking with you, too. And I want our audience to know, like I said, don't forget, you can download on iTunes. You can also get a link on Blog Talk Radio. And there's a few other things. I'm the most non-technical person in the world, but I do know that they have it all listed afterwards. And for people who know how to do this better than me, just click and do what you have to do. My easiest thing for me to say is go to iTunes. That's one thing I think I've slightly mastered. So go there. You can do it. But, Jenna, thank you for joining us. I certainly hope you had a wonderful Mother's Day yesterday, as I do all mothers. I hope they all had a great Mother's Day. And nobody took them to Hooters. That would be nice. when I see that, that just it makes me laugh at the same time. It's like, really? Anyway, but again, thank you for joining us this morning. Really do thank you and appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're doing. And we will be definitely in touch with you to see what other things that you do, maybe set up another interview once your movie is out, and you can tell us more about what's happening.
Well, that'd be great.
Oh, that would be wonderful. So again, everyone, thank you for joining us this morning on Who You Calling Old. Thank you for our guests and for everyone spending the time with us today. Please, everyone, have a wonderful week. Be safe, be happy, be fearless, and go for your dreams. I mean, that's inspired by today's guest. So have a wonderful day, and don't forget, next week, as usual, Monday at 10:30, remember, it's time to say, who are you calling old? Have a wonderful day, everyone.